Training camp has started, and here we are, Ira, at the Bill Curry Ford Studios, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. At where else? Bill Curry Ford. You are the sage of Tampa Bay sports. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Ira, I didn't catch the towel today on your first day patrolling camp, but we've got so much to talk about, our impressions out there. Yesterday, the Bucks surprised everybody a little bit with something they haven't done in years, which is a news conference the day before camp with Jason Light and Todd Bowles out there. And some of their comments are a little more clear today as we see them. But of course, we're here at Bill Curry Ford, and going to join us later is Bill Curry Ford General Manager Sean Sullivan. In the meantime, if you want to look at Sean, he's at BillCurryFord.com, where you can shop right now. You can see all their great specials for July. Sean is meeting or beating any Ford dealership's best offer, or he's giving you $500 cash. You can't beat that. And it's all at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, we thank our friends at Big Storm Brewing Company. Ira, they're having a huge party. Their 11th anniversary bash is at Big Storm Brewing in Clearwater, 49th Street, on Saturday. All day, Ira. All day, all night, food, beer.
They lose my email, Steve? What happened? They lose my text phone number over there?
You didn't get an invite, Ira?
I'm waiting for an invite.
You know me.
I don't turn down a meal, Steve. That's for sure.
Everybody's invited. You've got half price options all over the place for the anniversary party, BOGO, unpackaged beer. Last year, they had them stacked to the ceiling, all the great varieties, from your Tropic Pressure Golden Ale to your Bromosa.
Sunny. Which one? The Clearwater location?
Clearwater location.
Okay.
Live music outdoors all day into the night. Of course, indoors, great food. You can follow them on social media, Big Storm Brewing Clearwater. And Sage, as you know very well, they have their tap rooms in Odessa, Orlando at the Amway Center, and Cape Coral. We'll talk more about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration later. Of course, the storm season is here, and you know that's your first phone call, Florida's Elite Restoration, and their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. Ira, out there at camp, you're harassing Lee. You're touching all the media types, whether they want you to touch them or not. You're hugging. The fans weren't there yet, but your thoughts being out there day one. You've been to about 67 of these day one of training camps.
You know, I was thinking about that, Steve. My first one was probably 1985. The wonderful Lehman Bennett, he of the 2-14 and 2-14. Hard to believe. That was my introduction to Buck football. 4-28. I came out here, I wanted to press the flesh with all the fans and all the Buck fans, and then I forgot. No fans out there today. We're going to have more about to say about that too, Steve. But I thought the tempo was very good. I thought there was very few wasted moments, which is something that I look for. It was organized. And I will say, and I say this not to placate our friend Sean Sullivan, I thought Kyle Trask had a nice day. I thought he looked good. I'm interested in Lee's observations. Lee probably charted every damn pass that him and Mayfield threw. One of the best passes I saw today was from Kyle Trask, in and out of the hands of Payne Durham.
Oh,
wide open, dropped the ball.
It would have been a touchdown?
Would have been a touchdown.
Yeah, I know.
And in between two defenders. I mean, beautiful. So, I don't know. I was kind of impressed. Nobody got hurt. That's always the number one thing. We don't need another Ryan Jensen situation tomorrow on day two at camp. Bowles seemed pleased. And I like the fact that Bowles, every time you ask him, well, what'd you think of this guy? What'd you think of that guy? No. He's not prone to overhype people. He wants to look at the films. I don't blame him. You know, he couldn't be everywhere. They're using, you know, all different parts of the fields. And from what I saw, I would call it a crisp opening practice.
That's fair. I thought Trask looked the best he ever looked.
See that?
The best
right
he
there.
Ever looked.
The best he looked.
He looked like a legit NFL quarterback, whereas before I was like,
Doesn't mean he's going to win the job. Far from it.
Far from it. It's only one practice. And unfortunately, so far in Trask's short career, whenever he had a decent practice, this was a good one, but whenever he had a decent practice, he couldn't stack them together, as Bruce Arians would say. Got to stack them together. He would have a good or an okay practice, and he'd have a bad practice. He's got to string a bunch of these together, because I'm still convinced, unless he significantly outplays Mayfield, Mayfield's a starter, because we all know, including Todd Bowles knows, he needs wins. He's not going to trust a guy to get him to save his job, who only has 9 passes in his career.
But I'll say this, Lee, and I think it's important to say
it. Ira, you're missing a few important things here. The average fan is listening saying, Ira, tell me, who was better out there, Mayfield or Trask? Day one, I don't care that it was underwear football and there's no real pass rush.
I think Trask threw a better ball today than Mayfield.
So Trask wins round one from Ira Cowan.
From my perspective. Now, look, the news of the day, besides me showing up at the first day of camp, was Devin White. And everybody said, well, he's going to show up, but he's not going to practice. Well, that wasn't the case. He's involved. He's back. He hit the ground running, as did Will Golston, by the way. He's lining up at left end. Didn't take him too long to get back into shape.
Underwear football, though.
Underwear football. But I think this Devin White story, if there ever was one, it's totally behind us. There's no reason to discuss Devin White's disgruntlement unless it affects his play. And I'll say it again. If he plays well, he's going to get paid. Maybe not the money that he wants, but he's going to get paid.
He plays well.
And if the team does well.
As far as Trask and Mayfield, closer to a tie for me. Maybe Trask a little of an edge. But here's what I thought was interesting about Trask that I'd never seen before. He was rifling that ball. Usually his passes were lollipops.
He had more zip on the ball.
Exactly. He had a pass one time. I thought it was Jameis out there. I know there's people, you know, hitting their mailboxes right now in their cars, me saying this. But Jameis had velocity. He had a fastball. He was a pitcher. He had an arm. Trask, there was one pass today where I thought it was Jameis. He reared back and fired that SOB right between two guys. Brady wouldn't take that chance. Jameis, he would take every chance. So it was Jameis-like in the sense that he threw it right between two guys, and it hit Godwin in the numbers. And I was like, now that's an NFL throw.
My conclusion is Trask is taking this competition very seriously, as he should. And he's going in with the opinion, I've got a real chance here. But I better have a hell of a camp. And I think his conditioning, and I think he improved his arm strength. So I got to give him credit.
I think his arm, if it's not better, he's using it differently. I thought he looked more nimble today. What do you think, Ira?
I agree. Look, I don't want to read too much into the underwear football, Lee, as you always say it. But as far as our guest is concerned today, he's going to be pretty happy to learn that we think Kyle Trask had a good day.
Ira, you know, you always ruin a good thing here. I had this dramatic introduction for Sean Sullivan, the GM, Bill Curry Ford, later when he's going to join us.
Proceed, Steve.
And you can't stop talking about it.
I didn't say his name. Go ahead. Tell everybody.
Hey, Ira, biggest guy you forgot. Shaq Barrett out there looking pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot that he changed his number. And I was like, at one point, a little bit, I was watching. I was like, well, who's that guy? I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's Shaq Barrett. That was pretty impressive. Again, no contact yet, but to have him out there full go and Bulls liked him. What's your thought there?
Thinking about Shaq Barrett, if he could. Now, look, nobody's talking about 19 and a half sacks. That's like.
Why not?
That's like when Devin White got 9. You can't expect that from an inside linebacker. And 19 and a half from a guy who had never had more than 5 in Shaq Barrett when he was in Denver was remarkable. It was absolutely remarkable. So I'm looking at 11 and 2 or 12. And you know what? Last year he had 3 in a half a season. 3. And he was healthy until he got hurt. He had 3. And somehow Bowles keeps churning out 45 and 47 sacks a season, which I think is a credit to Bowles because I think he's very good at that deceptive stuff. He doesn't want Vita Vea leading this team with 6.5 sacks. That ain't going to work over the long haul. Shaq Barrett, if you get him at that 11, 12, 13 number, this could be a pretty darn good defense, Steve. At least I know you think so.
All right. Well, I had to mention Shaq because, you know, important day back, Ryan Jensen out there that, you know, Bulls had said that they were going to limit his work and go, you know, day by day with him, but he was out there.
And Chris Godwin says he feels considerably in better shape and quicker than he was a year ago.
Well, I hope so. He caught 100 balls last season, so that's pretty good.
That still blows my mind.
Yeah, that's the phone for Bill Curry Ford. They're calling. They want that deal. They want
calling.
The Ira Kaufman discount.
That's a 150 call. The guy wants a 150.
They're demanding it from Sean Sullivan. Go ahead, Lee.
No, I was going to say Godwin. It still blows my mind. 100 catches last year.
Remarkable.
For a guy with a bum knee.
One last point I want to make before you will humbly introduce our beautiful guest.
I'll introduce when I'm ready.
I was looking at Godwin today because they brought him out for an interview, and our guest knows this better than anybody.
He can't stop.
You look at him and Mike Evans. You look at him and Mike Evans, and you look around the league at the Tyreek Hills of the world and everybody else that's What about me? What about me? I want my catches. I'm not getting enough targets. And I'm not going to say the Bucs are fortunate, because I'm going to credit the Bucs scouting department. They're the ones that scouted these guys, Godwin and Evans. Now, everybody probably would have took Evans where the Bucs took him, I think at 7. All right, he was a hell of a college player. Godwin was a hell of a draft pick. Tremendous pick by Jason Light. I give him full props. And the character of those two guys, it's so much of an outlier when you look at all the diva receivers. I think the Bucs are super fortunate and have tremendous gratitude towards those two guys, because, boy, they are the epitome of team players.
Is Godwin that much of a surprise? The reason why I ask you that, he came from Penn State.
He did.
And going all the way back to Paterno. I know Paterno had his problems, but Paterno rarely had bad eggs. And to this day, all the guys that Penn State puts out, they're good dudes. So I don't know if Godwin is such a shock that he's a good dude.
Except for that guy Sandusky, he didn't.
Well,
make
he didn't
it.
Play. Yeah, thank God.
He didn't make it. Steve, on that note, you're ready to introduce.
at least he didn't make a shower joke, so that's good.
Oh,
Ira, got to run this past you. You know, Jason Light was out there yesterday talking, and he dropped a line about shopping at the dollar store for players, and they think they got some good bargains. As if Jason Light knows what it's like at the South Tampa dollar store, looking for canned beans and
candied
yams
and Twizzlers and things like that.
Twizzlers.
The point was that, hey, we were handcuffed and we like what we got. And he went out of his way to say they love the undrafted free agents this year more than ever before, and that they seem very high on the draft class. Now, you got to read between the lines. That's why you're here. Every year they're high on the draft class. But I got a feeling that he's a little extra high on this group, or at the very least thinks that they could be an impact immediate draft class, not like in 2021.
Would I be shocked if more than usual undrafted players make the final Buck roster? No, I wouldn't be surprised at that. Lee, they got a lot of openings. They got a lot of openings. I don't want to read too much into it in late July about this class of undrafted players. Now, like you said, I think Jason Light needs a good draft for 2023. He needs these guys to pan out, and I think he needs two starters right off the bat. I think those first two guys, Malk, the job's waiting for you. Right guard, go take it. If Kancey's not on the field for 65% of the snaps, I think something's wrong. They need somebody with that kind of juice up front. That job's waiting for Kancey to grab. But, Steve, I'm not going to read too much into these undrafted players unless I see more going further into training camp.
All right, now I need you to read into something that I think is important, and this is the layer that we need from the Sage. Will Golston re-signed. Okay, there's always a why. There's always a why he was re-signed. Do you think that they looked at some of these players through the spring and what they had and decided, we need Will Golston? Now, I asked Todd Bowles today, Greg Gaines, what have you seen? What do we need to know? No one's asked him in a long time about Gaines. Gaines hasn't done any interviews. He said Gaines is quicker than they thought he was, a guy who played alongside Aaron Donald, and more versatile. So we know that Gaines is quicker and more versatile, and he's got a ton of starting experience, the Super Bowl ring. They love Kancey, right? Everybody's saying they love Kancey.
And Vay is established.
Vay is established, and you know, they don't have any injuries, and they seem to like Diaby. We know what's going on at the edges. But you bring back Will Golston, why?
I think you answered the question with your first sentence. They looked around. They took an objective look at their D-line, and they said, we need help. We need Will Golston.
Wow.
He's a known quantity. Now, look, he's not, Cameron Jordan coming off the left edge, and he doesn't claim to be. But he's a pretty good two-down player, and he's stout against the run. He's proven it. He's no flash in the pan, Lee. He's one of the longest-tenured Bucks for a reason.
So Logan Hall's good. Not ready, you think?
Don't get me started on Logan Hall. And with that, I'm going to stop right now because I don't want to talk about Logan Hall. I'm calling him right now. Right now. You can call me out on this in 2 months. He's a man without a position. I don't know what he is, Steve. Is he an inside guy? Is he a right end on a 3-4? I don't know what this guy is. Is he a right outside linebacker? I don't think so. I'm not sure what this guy is, and I'm not sure the Bucs know what he is. I'm glad to see Golston back. He's a known quantity. He's a good character in the locker room. Can't have enough of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I think he's good at his job. But he's not a three-down player. And I think everybody knows that.
Ira, I'm going to give you, a basketball analogy. I don't even know if Isbitz knows this. Sean, might. He used to play basketball.
Is Bette Midler going to be in this conversation?
I sure hope not.
Okay, go ahead.
I think a good coach can figure out a way to use a tweener. And I'll give you an example. This guy was a good defensive coach. How about offense? Here's my basketball analogy. Do you remember when Curry Kirkpatrick used to work for Sports Illustrated?
Yes, I do.
He wrote
a lot of college basketball.
Yeah, he wrote a cover story one time called The Flying Illini. Not The Fighting Illini, The Flying Illini. When Lou Henson was there, late 80s, outside of one player, they were all 6'6".
Wing guys, wing.
Yeah, but they used them all over the place. Used them at guard, used them at forward, used them at strong forward. They used them all over the place to confuse the other team. The other team didn't know what to defend. Smart coaches would do that. They were interchangeable. They're all the same size, same speed. And I think a good coach, I don't disagree with what you're saying about Logan Hall. I think he's a tweener. You could argue the same thing about Will Golston. He's kind of a tweener. A good coach will be able to figure this out.
The only thing I'm saying, Lee, is this. The coach of the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins, when they're preparing for September 10th, they ain't mentioning Logan Hall. His name's not coming up in the pregame. It's not coming up.
I had a coach tell me once, Ira, that a tweener, that means he's the guy who sits between the two real players on the bench.
That's
what a tweener is.
But we got a real guest today. That's what we got.
Ira, Jason Light, he said the Bucks can compete in any division. They can compete in any division. They likes it. He likes the talent. He put the flag in the ground, which means that they believe they can win this year. And I think most fans do believe they can win, not a Super Bowl, but that they can walk out with a winning record. What does that mean to you, him saying that? Light easily could downplay things. He easily could say, you know, we're going through a big transition here. No Tom Brady. We're figuring out a quarterback. Light is out there pretending this quarterback competition is a good thing. Where else in the NFL is there a quarterback competition like this one?
He's trying to show his players that management has confidence in this roster. Now, on the face of it, Steve, I'll say this for myself. I think it's an absurd statement that the Bucs would be a contender in every division in the NFL. I think that's crazy. If they're in the AFC West, they're not a contender. If they're in the NFC East, they're not a contender. I'm sorry, they're not. And what's my proof? The Dallas playoff game. Embarrassing. At home, never in the game. Is any other team having a quarterback competition like this? Well, that's what happens when Brady leaves and you don't have anybody on the roster that's proven. You bring in Baker Mayfield. I think he's probably going to win the job, Steve. But based on what I saw from Trask today, he's got a shot.
Storm damage hits your property, Ira. Flood in the kitchen, behind the cabinets. Mold is everywhere. Fire. You know what to do. You call Florida's Elite Restoration. They are the Tampa Bay area's best company when you have that kind of disaster at your business or in your home. They're going to give you a free assessment evaluation at your property of what's going on. And they'll tell you how to proceed with your insurance company to get the money that's coming to you because it's a corrupt and difficult business. You got to have somebody fighting for you. Florida's Elite Restoration is who to trust. That's who to call 24/7. So they'll give you that free evaluation. Mention Ira when you call or Joe Bucks fan, and you'll get $500 back if you end up going forward with their services. Very simple. If you use them, they'll give you $500 toward your deductible, or maybe that's just cash back if you're paying in cash. Florida's EliteRestoration.com, Sage. We just implore everybody, get to their website, learn about their services, inquire about them so you know who to call. Make them part of your disaster plan. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Even better, they're huge Bucks fans, and they're just treat people great. Florida's Elite Restoration. All right, Sage, we got a lot of fun to get to here. We're going to bring in Sean Sullivan to get a couple of thoughts from him. Of course, he's our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He doubles as the GM here at Bill Curry
Ford. He's
got
some great podcasts coming up, by the way.
He's got
his own
best-in-class podcast, new one that fans can listen to right at JoeBucksFan.com and all the other platforms. So we're excited about that. Ira, before we hit the drum roll here for Sean, to bring him in, anything else that stood out for you yesterday or today from Todd Bowles? We'll get to the fan comment later from Light or Bowles as we sort of turn the page into a brand new season.
It's just that it's so different than it was a couple of years ago. It's so different. 22 starters coming back from a championship team. That doesn't happen very often. There was no intrigue in training camp that year. Everybody had their jobs. Who's fighting? You know, no, nobody's fighting. And JPP was around, so they brought Troyan Shoyanka slowly. And now he's got to play.
And now he's developing slowly.
That, I think, is the biggest change to me going into this camp. There are position battles. Right guard, left guard to an extent. Right tackle, presumably. There's a competition besides Gedeki.
I'd be surprised.
I don't think kicker's a competition. I think McLaughlin's got the job.
And obviously the punter's.
And the punter's good. And on defense, I think it's a mishmash up front. I'm not sure about this D-line.
Really?
I like Vea, of course. I think Kancey's going to be good. I don't want to hear Aaron Donald's name mentioned with Kancey. Just stop the nonsense. I don't care how much his physique resembles Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald comes rolling every 15 years. Remember that.
It's not fair to the kid either.
No, and it's not fair. So anyway, Steve, that's my short answer. The biggest difference is there's true competition out there, starting with under center.
All right, Ira, now we're going to bring in Sean Sullivan. And Sean, regular listeners to the Ira Kaufman podcast know you very well. And first, I have to ask you the simplest question I'm going to ask you all day, which is, why should everybody listening purchase a vehicle from Bill Curry Ford?
Oh, well, that's the easiest question I get to answer. One, we're a family-owned store. So in the world of corporations with all the car dealerships not caring about the community, not caring about the individual car sale, being a third-generation family business, one of the very last Ford stores in the state of Florida that is owned by a family, we not only spend money in our community, have 41 active charities in Tampa, we actually care and develop our customer relations between our service department, parts department, and our sales department. I think we go the extra mile for our customers, and we build relationships. Corporations are just about how many numbers they can get in, constant overturning of their managers, of their service advisors, of their parts people. Here, you see the same faces because we want to build families here, not just as a family-owned store. We are a family, and I think that's going to reflect well in the community.
Pretty soon, Sean, you could be the last standing family dealership.
That is correct. One of the last ones that we thought were going to sell just sold to Lithia just recently. So we are now just surrounded by corporations between Lithia and Morgan and Sonic. We're just surrounded by gigantic publicly traded corporations, and here we are, this little family store. Who just spent $20 million to bring one of the latest and greatest futuristic facilities that the world has ever known.
What's that mean for the consumer, that you're a family?
Not just about the family part of it, but we've created an environment that's going to be extremely positive for our customers. So what I wanted to do is I really wanted to start from how a customer pulls in to how long they spend in the dealership to how their comfort level is in the dealership to have aggressive pricing. To reward people for spending more money here over time, with more VIP stuff, with more
amenities.
That are completely rare to the state of Florida. And I'm very excited about 130 bays, the largest service drive in the world, which you guys are going to see after this podcast. VIP rooms, concierge service, pickup and delivery. Even if you get a recall, like on your Cherry Red Escape. I can do a recall in your driveway while you're watching college football.
Fantastic.
So
Fantastic.
Those are things that we offer at Bill Curry Ford that other stores can't offer.
All right, Sean, I won't let you forget about the great pricing and your fantastic offers. Get to BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. All right, now, Sean, you know what? A lot of fans, they want to hear your respected take on the Bucs quarterback situation. We've polled the fans many times. You got about two-thirds, about 60% or so, who think Baker Mayfield should be the go-to guy and run with him.
Should be.
There's the Trask mob who, about 23% says roll with Kyle Trask. The rest of them either don't care or they think it should be somebody else. Where do you stand on the quarterback situation? It's an open competition. How open it is for one guy or another can be debated, but it's still open. What do you want?
I think I speak for the average fan. I mean, you guys are, first of all, it's an honor to always be with you guys and to have this opinion on this podcast. I think you guys know that.
Pleasure's ours.
Thank you, Lee, for that. I will tell you, as an average fan,
I would have said the pleasure's mine, but I don't know what you're going to say yet. So I got to wait.
So I think we all know who the right choice would be, that we're, the one we'd be more comfortable with. We're going to be comfortable to what we know, and that's going to be Baker Mayfield. You have a veteran coach who we know if he has a lousy year this year, he's going to be on the hot seat. You know, that's going to happen.
Mayfield has tape.
Yes, yeah, Mayfield has playoff experience. He has a playoff win. He had a Pro Bowl season. He's a proven player. You know how he's going to react in the third quarter. You know how he's going to react in the fourth quarter. You know how he's going to react if you're down, whether you're up. Is he going to be a game manager? I think you're going to have that going through the coaching staff's mind. On the other hand, I would like to see a fair competition. Now, all I've ever wanted with Kyle Trask, Lee always gives me the best time because he's like, you're just a big Kyle Trask supporter. I'm a supporter until Kyle Trask tells me he can't play. I have no idea if he can play or not. I know he could play at Florida. I watched him single-handedly almost beat Alabama. I watched him set several Florida records. I watched him finish second in the Heisman voting. I watched him throw 44 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I watched his completion percentage over 70%. And then I have everybody say, well, college and NFL are different. Well, of course they are. I get that. This guy's never had an opportunity to play with anybody but third-string and fourth-string guys. And you guys just saw him in practice today. Well, guess what? He's got reps. He's been repping with first team. And that's going to help his confidence, help his throws. You were talking about he knew where to throw the ball. Well, I think all of it. I think that we've neglected this kid for 2 years, and I think that that's fine because we had Tom Brady. I don't think we should have done anything differently. I don't know if we could have done something differently. I think Bruce Arians could have done a little bit more with him last year, maybe Tom Moore. But I'm anxious to see it. If he comes out and does not play well, I'll put the Kyle Trask thing
put
aside,
it to bed. Yeah.
And then say, okay, this guy's a career backup. He's going to have a long career backup in the NFL.
Like
he's
going to be Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon.
There you go.
There you go.
He's a Mike Glennon. But for now, I don't know what he is. I know that he has a tremendous amount of talent. I know we took him because he's a cerebral player that can pinpoint a ball. He has tremendous downfield accuracy. He's obviously gotten more nimble. But again, it goes to what Jason Light's thinking. Are we really playing for this season? And I had this conversation with Steve earlier. I have no idea what we're doing. We're half 1 foot in and 1 foot out in an NFL season. And as a Bucs fan, I've watched this since 1976.
That's dangerous.
Right? I've watched this not fully commit to a team because we don't know if it's good or not. And then the next year we try to fully commit and all the momentum is gone. We did that with do you remember when we had the 10-win season with Josh Freeman and then we didn't want to spend any money? And then,
Okay, well,
now that we won 10 games, we'll go all in the next year. And then we had lost everything. Then we had a terrible season the next year. What I feel like is, as a general manager of a business, it doesn't matter whether it's the NFL or the auto business, I want to be fully committed to my personnel. I want to be fully committed to a goal for this season. And I have no idea what the goal is for the Bucs this season other than what they're telling us we're going to win our division. First of all, there's no division in the AFC that right now your roster's better than. It's not just the AFC West. It's the East. It's the South. It's the South. It's the North. I can name all these divisions and teams.
You're not going to compete with the Bengals.
Yeah, you're not competing with the Bengals. You're not competing with the Chargers. You're not competing with the Chiefs. You're just not, right?
Titans, they ought to be.
Right now, the Dolphins on paper might have the best roster in the NFL, the Dolphins.
And the Jags aren't bad.
And the Jags on paper. They have the fastest team in the NFL with a lot of proven players, and they've had tremendous drafts. The Jets right now are a team that I think are going to make a huge jump this year because of their drafting, and they obviously added a veteran quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think.
Well, let me stop you here for a second, Sean, because I'm an avid listener to the Best in Class podcast, and the clear pattern for anybody who really pays close attention to the draft is every year there's two or three teams that kill it in the draft. And that takes them to a whole nother level. Do you think the Bucs are one great draft? Let's say this draft turns out to be that draft for the Bucs, where Cody Mauch is a legit high-quality right guard and go on down the line. Do you think there's enough here where a excellent draft pushes the Bucs into real contention?
Wow, that's a really poignant question. I will tell you that this was a draft of pass rushers. That's what I called it on the Best in Class podcast. I put in there that I feel like that we needed pass rushers and we needed to be able to give the guys that we have less snaps. I feel like Joe Tryon played too many snaps last year. Logan Ryan didn't play enough snaps to develop. So there was a snap count problem, in my opinion, and we added a bunch of depth to give our people more rest. I think you're going to see better pass rush this year, but pass rushers take time to develop. Let's go with the Jets of last year. The Jets made a huge jump last year because they drafted offensive line. They drafted probably drafted the best wide receiver that's come in the NFL in a long time in Garrett Wilson.
And a running back.
And they drafted a running back in Breece Hall, which was the first eight games of the season was a sensation in all of the NFL, kind of like Cadillac when he came out. He really set the NFL on fire. And then, of course, Sauce Gardner, who was my number one corner, went to the Jets. And he, again, was an all-pro. And if you listen
That's
to Best in Class,
draft,
if you listen to Best in Class, I called that he would be an all-pro. He'd be the first rookie all-pro
you did.
Corner in NFL history. So, yes, do I think that a draft like that can alter a team's future? Yes. Last year's Bucs draft was a depth draft. We drafted basically depth players on a Super Bowl team. We weren't able to draft some of the top players. And then Kansas City had an amazing draft last year with Kolaftis at 27, which, again, I feel like the Bucs should have drafted.
Pacheco.
So my point is Kansas City had another amazing draft, and they won the Super Bowl. So, yes, I do. I think the pattern of the way we drafted, though, we drafted more developmental players than instant impact players like Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. We drafted guys that are going to take a few years to develop, like Yaya, right, Kansi. These are guys that I Lavoisier Dennis. Yeah, I think off the ball linebacker that I think is going to contribute right away. I think there's an opportunity for development. I'm kind of still worried about the quarterback position. If Kyle Trask,
you should be.
If Kyle Trask is a backup, which we don't know that yet, right? Aaron Rodgers said 3 years. You didn't know what Aaron Rodgers was. He threw the ball by his ear, and he changed his entire throwing motion by the first time he threw.
Steve,
a ball.
Steve, I got a question for Sean on the quarterback thing. Sean, do you agree with me when I said last week that if Trask outperforms Mayfield, outperforms him, and they give the job to Mayfield, that's a problem with the rest of the team? I don't think that's going to go over very well, because you proclaim this an open competition. And if Trask goes out and wins the competition, but you're more comfortable with Mayfield because of his experience, first of all, that tells you that it wasn't a real competition. And two, I think everybody else is watching. 52 players are watching this. I think that's a problem if they don't stay true to what they say they're going to do.
I understand your point completely. I think that when you're dealing with young quarterbacks and veteran quarterbacks, you see this on every team, though. The majority of the teams start with the veteran and they end up going to the younger player later in the season, depending on how the season goes.
And you think the players will understand that?
Yes. I 100% think Baker starts this season, no matter how Trask performs. Unless Baker breaks his leg or something.
Mm.
I think Baker starts the season. I think the first four games of the season are going to determine the playing time for our quarterback.
And then the bye week comes at that point?
The bye week, well, no, the first four games are just ridiculous. We have an early bye week. That would be the time to put Trask in during that bye week if we're going to go down that path. I guess my question is Baker Mayfield and a combination of Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask better than Caleb Williams and Drake May or Penix? Like, if I'm a general manager, I can't just think about this one season. I've got to think about the next 15 seasons.
What do you call better?
What is Baker Mayfield's ceiling? When Cleveland launched him, they said that his ceiling was reached. They said this is a 27-touchdown, 11-interception guy that throws for 3,000 yards. It can game manage you with a strong running game. I mean, for goodness sakes, Cleveland had the best running game in the NFL, and they won a playoff game.
And so they were good with
but
that.
But he didn't put up huge numbers.
No, he did not.
Take this into consideration.
Right.
This guy's never been a huge number guy.
No.
Kyle Trask. Is Kyle Trask a game manager, or is he a guy that wins you three or four plus games a year? You don't know that yet.
Up until today, I can only go by what I see. Up until today, he was nothing more than a backup.
But I can tell you right now, if they screw this up, however they're doing this quarterback thing, and they screw up and win six games.
Or seven
games and miss the playoffs, and they screw the Bucs fans out of getting one of these. This is a 1983 draft coming up.
How deep is the quarterback draft?
It's five deep right
five
now.
Five deep?
Now, going in... No,
wait,
again,
wait,
going,
wait, wait. I have a philosophical question, which I think is very important. If, let's say, you put Kyle Trask in to play this season with him and you win seven games, and you're like, oh, well, Trask showed a little promise there. He wasn't special, but okay. Then what?
You know what I mean? You're stuck in mediocrity.
But well, that's what I'm saying is what Sean's talking about earlier was the whole what's the plan? It's unclear because you're sort of too good to be bad. And no matter Correct. Which quarterback you go to, you may not get the result you're looking for. So they're sort of all in on not being all in, which is sort of what's going on here. But I like it only just speaking as a fan. I don't want to think about quarterbacks that may or may not pan out, that we may or may not get, and that, oh, we got the third pick, but we didn't get the guy we wanted. I'd rather just try to win.
You remember 2014 when they gagged and pined for Winston.
Correct.
And you don't want to go through a season like that.
I don't want to deal with it. If I just as a fan,
everybody knew what they were doing, Sean.
I want to try to win. The good organizations will figure out how to adjust.
Sean, everybody knew what they were doing that year.
The Buccaneers have never done it right. Not one time. Not one time since then. You said good organizations and good teams do it well. We're not.
They've never signed a quarterback to a second contract.
I'm literally coming out with a podcast to talk about all the worst draft picks in history just to have some fun with it. I think that Bucs fans will like that a lot. But I will tell you that I was talking to Lee the other day, and I said, Lee, successful teams every 5 years to 6 years draft a franchise quarterback, except for us. We just don't do it. We just refuse to try to find the special player. You can't just go, okay, Vinny Testaverde didn't work out in 1987.
So we're
going to wait all the way until...
Now, they thought they had one in Winston, Sean.
Actually, our next one was what, Josh Freeman?
Yeah.
Was the next quarterback after all those years? So we had Doug
Williams. Dilfer. There was Dilfer.
Didn't work. You're right. We had Doug Williams in the first round, Trent Dilfer in the first round, Josh Freeman in the first
round, Steve
Young. James Winston in the first round. He was not second.
Second
round. So my point is, for 46 years, that's all we're going to do? I'm sorry. And Trask was a third-round draft pick. I mean, to me. He's the last pick in the second round. It doesn't matter.
The only slip-up you had, you know, you were saying, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers sat on the bench.
There's three years.
Number one, I remember Phil Simms saying on NFL radio that for CBS, he had to go to a Packers camp. It was Rodgers' second year. He saw him his first year, and he thought he was lousy. In the second year, he said out of the corner of his eye, he saw some guy just throwing the ball around like a magician. Who the hell's that? He looks at Rodgers. And he said at that time, he was ready to go. Up until today, this is Trask's third year. Up until today, in his one practice, Trask did not look like a starting NFL quarterback. I'm just sorry. He just didn't. Well, I didn't even know he was better than Ryan Griffin. So I don't think that's a fair comparison.
If you start, well, let's say Jordan Love's coming out this year. We'll see.
That's
what
a fair
Love's
comparison. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Rodgers was also a first-round pick.
If
they had a lot of money.
If you go from Favre, Rodgers, two Hall of Famers, and then go right into Jordan Love, and Jordan Love wins 10, 12 games again for Matt LaFleur this year, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing half the time. and as far as – and I don't know if it's just because of the way the ownership is, because I don't think it's Jason Light. What I'm seeing is it just seems like there's a lot of voices that have always led us.
Greg Schiano said the same thing.
I'm going to hold on to those voices and the ownership. We're going to get to that. I want to duck in because it's important to Ira and it's important to us. And I just realized it'd be interesting to get your reflection here as a fan and as a friend, but someone who we didn't even know 7 years ago. Ira has been with Joe Bucs Fan now. This is 7 years this week. Ira Kaufman at JoeBucsFan.com. And Ira...
They call it the seven-year itch, Steve. You know,
I'm negotiating his new contract, Steve.
What do you have to say for yourself?
First of all, we
talked about it before. We referenced it, but now it's here. You're entering your eighth year with JoeBucsFan.com and your storied career. And how's it been?
I hereby declare Sean Sullivan as my chief negotiator from this moment on.
It's a good choice.
Very good choice.
And from my point of view, it's been a marvelous partnership. You guys have been great to work with. I'll let you guys discuss what it's been like from your end. But is this a beautiful time to ask for a raise, Sean?
I don't think there's a bad time to ask for a raise.
I got to maximize
a pandemic.
Lee, do you have a favorite Ira moment or something you want to reflect on?
Oh, my gosh. I hope we can tell the most recent Ira story.
Well, Lee, have I changed the enterprise by, you know?
Yeah, you've done what I always thought you would do. And I talked to Steve about this. I thought, you know, a lot of people, fair or unfair, thought Steve and I were a couple of clowns, even though we have backgrounds in journalism. And we both won awards in journalism, newspapers, AP stuff, you know, legitimate journalism. But still, people thought we were clowns. And I always told Steve, if we could get you to come aboard, you, and I've told this to Gary Shelton too, if we can get Ira to come aboard, it would bring us credibility. And I think it did.
Yeah, it hasn't changed people thinking we're clowns, Ira, but we're just better clowns.
And it doesn't mean that Sean Sullivan agrees with everything that I say on these podcasts. But he respects my opinion, and that's what matters.
He's a sage.
Yeah,
right?
you know, for years, well, I'll reflect on Ira. For years, probably a good 4 years, I didn't know you too well, but I would see you at training camp and say, yeah, Ira, you know, Tribune, you know, they're going under. We're going to make you.
Am I one of those guys that gave you the back of my hand like some of these other clowns?
No. I would say to you, we're going to make you an offer when a time comes, Ira. You know, you can't just. Right. Drift off into the night, and you're yeah. Who's this guy? Yeah. But we would talk about it, and then you know, obviously, Tampa Tribune started to thin out.
You miss your Tribune, Sean? You miss it?
I do miss my Tribune. I miss Tom McEwen, you know, too. I like Tom McEwen. It came down to you and Tom Cummings, just so you know. It was an edge.
Roy Cummings?
Roy Cummings. I had a beer with Steve one time. He's like, yeah, it came down to Ira and Roy Cummings, you know, for the offer.
Well, wait. He's joking.
Well, you got me nervous over here, Sean.
By the way, Sean, Tom McEwen hired Ira.
Speaking of, you were talking about fans with Bucks practice. My father sat me on his cooler as a child. I could sit on a cooler on the side of the field and watch the Bucks practice at UT. As the planes would fly overhead. You could walk up to the fence, put your cooler down. I sat on my dad's cooler. And watched the Bucks practice. Just couldn't believe that I got that close to the athletes. It was such a dream as a child. And just to think, you know, how the fans are treated now, why I can't take my sons to see the same thing. I mean, I know we can't sit in a cooler. I mean, you got to remember, that was outside.
Was that the Ray Perkins three practices a day,
Sean? Oh, my
Sean?
Gosh, I love Ray Perkins and his whistle.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
So, he would whistle all day long with that. He was just constant. But Ray Perkins would yell at the players like old school, like
three
just
days.
Loved it.
Lee, three
just
days.
So Brantley hated him.
In this heat.
Oh. So Sage, you know, going back to that time, I always said to Lee, you know, Ira's the guy because you were just, every time you did those radio interviews, the various ones that you did, not that crappy podcast you had on TBO, were real radio interviews. He didn't even blink when I said it. Didn't even blink. It was wildly entertaining. And this is an entertainment business. You know, most of the media guys, they take everything so seriously. And
I am a great radio guest, Sean. I'm a great radio guest. Just ask Chris Russo.
You have the face for radio.
Thank you, Sean.
We just thought that between Ira being Ira and the job that he does and the writing and everybody.
And I didn't mind talking to fans either, Lee. I think that's a factor, too.
And that Ira was the perfect fit, just entertaining, because Lee and I have always followed the adage, if you will, if we like it, we write about it, we do it. If we don't like it, we don't care if there's fans out there who say, you should do this, or you're not doing this, or you didn't write about this guy and his toe fungus, you know, and before he got cut in July. So, you know, it was just a stroke of luck that we were able to pull it off to get the Sage in here, and here he is. We've never told you what to do, Ira. We've made some suggestions,
right.
But
Sean,
never told you what to
Steve,
do.
Steve, who you know very well, he edits all my copy. He reads it, he edits it, and he puts it out. Now, Steve, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you've been reading 7 years worth of columns.
No problem.
How many fact errors have you caught in 7 years? Typos? There are typos, I know that. But how clean is the copy, Steve?
I can do it on two hands, for sure.
Oh, that's great.
And how rare is that?
Incredibly rare. Yeah. Incredibly rare.
Which one of those three-yard runs did you like the most, Ira?
There you go. That's my favorite Gruden line. And Lee, one thing I always tell young writers or whatever, you know, I think they're in such a hurry or whatever.
I'm guilty
of that. They put out their first draft, and they don't look it over. Sean, they don't look it over. They press the button. I don't press the button.
I'm guilty of that.
I read the thing two or three times, word for word.
That's your news.
I'm going to miss some typos. Because I'm human.
But that's a newspaper background. I mean, when it went in print, it was done, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't hit an erase or an edit button, right?
So when you go over your story, Steve, you go over it that second or third time, you make it better. You add a better word, you know, or a better phrase, or you take something out.
If you
and these people, they don't edit themselves, Steve. They don't edit themselves.
Well, I was actually taught this in college, that never, ever, ever do you edit. You proofread your own copy. Never. That was a mortal sin.
because you would miss stuff that other people never would miss. But I agree with you because I got the same habit. Get it in, get it in, get it in.
Sometimes they feel they don't have the time. But I got to get it in. I don't feel that way.
I also remember my professors in college, like, don't you ever edit your own copies. I always felt uncomfortable proofing my own copy.
Well, I mean, I love the fact that I got another set of eyes on it. I love that.
Trust me, Steve knows I hit the button send way too often. If you must proof your own copy, the best way to do it, next morning. Not that night,
that's
next
good.
Morning.
That's good.
Sleep on it.
If we're going this direction, we'll put a cap on it, the only way to really edit your own copy, the only foolproof way to do it, I would expect the Sage probably does this, but I'm not sure, the only way to do it is to read it out loud. And if you're willing to read it out loud, you'll hear all the screw-ups, no problem. All right.
So I'm going, before you change subjects, I'm going on the record. So Burns is closed right now, doing its first remodel.
I thought they reopened.
The reopening is coming. Okay. What I would like to do, have instead of waiting until our Christmas time, I want to take it to the new Burns.
I think you can stop the podcast right now, Steve.
For your 7th anniversary of Fantastic. Joe Bucks fans on me.
Are you still going to have your own room over there, Sean? The same room?
Yeah. Drew takes care of me in our own room. You guys will be there with us. We'll party and celebrate Joe
Bucks.
We'll
bring Jason
Light
with us. We'll bring Light with us.
Thanks,
Sean.
The guy won't come.
Thanks,
I invite the guy every time. He doesn't come.
Hey, there's two words on Ira's tip of his tongue right now. When you said Burns, lobster bisque.
Lobster bisque.
It's the best.
Well, thank you, Sean. That sounds great. I am a little worried about you, Ira, but I'm glad to see your appetite is back. I offered you an anniversary lunch today. And you chose a turkey sandwich.
Turkey sandwich, you know, simple.
And a beet salad.
And for the record, I bought you a brownie. And where
By
is
the way,
it?
Where
is it, Ira? Where's the brownie?
It's already gone.
Yeah.
young Grace is looking good. She's looking smelt. All right.
Calm down, Ira. Calm down,
young
Ira.
Young Grace. Are we making too much about this fan?
No.
Well,
absolutely
Ira, let me just spit it out. Todd Bowles today, he was asked about training camp, and he said the fans are supposed to be out here. Now, no fans were there. None. No VIPs. No, I didn't even see friends and family in
there.
Nobody. Some guys were banging some hammers on the bleachers when we were done, but it was ready for fans. Signage is up, and they'll be out there Sunday. But no fans today. No fans tomorrow. No fans Friday. Organizational decision. But you know what? We've been very hard on the team, and everybody should know it's not on Todd Bowles. He flat out said the fans are supposed to be out there. He even said that the fans help the team because they raise the energy level a little bit. And Chris Godwin said he didn't notice fans weren't there. It didn't occur to him until Mike Evans basically said to him, where are the fans? I thought we were going to have fans here. So it's a little strange. I don't understand from an organization that is trying to build customers, that invests all this, to not open up every practice.
Sean, we are the only media outlet that's making an issue out of this. No, nobody else will take this on.
Can
Nobody.
You please tell me what another media outlet is in Tampa that covers the Buccaneers or anything, really?
A lot of them proclaim to be.
You have to admit that Tampa, for the largest, you know, for now, we have many multiple championship franchises. We probably are the worst city for sports coverage in the country. I've gone to Chicago. I go to New York. Let's throw those out. You go to places. Dallas?
Pittsburgh.
I go to California. You go to San Diego. You go to L.A. It's crazy, the coverages. Fine, throw those out. So let's just throw out all the big. I was in Connecticut, right? I was in Maine. I couldn't believe the sports coverage. I was like, what teams does Connecticut and Maine have? Yeah. I know ESPN's in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe that's what that is. But I was in New Hampshire and Maine, up down the East Coast.
All the New England teams.
Yeah. It was all Pats. All Pats all the time. You couldn't get away from it, and I'm like, really? Like we just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. We had the number one athlete in the world playing for our team, right? And we can't get better coverage. I mean, obviously, Joe Bucks fan. I'm happy for you guys.
Do you like the fact we call them out on occasion when they need to be called out? Do you like that?
Don't you think that the best journalists praise when it's time to praise and criticize when it's time to criticize?
I do.
If you're not doing that, you're nothing but a lobbyist. The same thing I would tell anybody who watches television, who think they watch actual political networks. They're lobbyists. If you're always constantly agreeing with the protagonist, you're not actually a journalist.
Sidebar, sort of. I used to be a monster baseball fan. I just got tired of the way the stat geeks have ruined the game. But there's this guy that covered the Cardinals. He was basically a mouthpiece for the Cardinals, even though he has a journalism degree from Missouri. And I would say, I never emailed him this or anything, but I always thought,
Are you a freaking watchdog or a lapdog?
And Sean, it's one thing if your paycheck says Tampa Bay Bucks on it. Then I understand. You're a member of the organization. But if you're a legitimate independent media outlet, they ain't paying you the Bucks. You're supposed to tell the truth. I don't really understand it.
I don't get it. I mean, Joe Buck's fans have been on the cutting edge of the most breaking stories in Tampa media for the Buccaneers. And I will challenge anybody that says something different. I want to ask a couple questions about training camp because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Okay, so we haven't had a chance to talk about this. Steve, I have a few minutes just to ask a couple questions.
Yeah. First off, want to make sure everybody knows that basically today was an abbreviated underwear football practice. They cut out at 9:50, something like that. So practice was about an hour and 20 minutes. Not a lot going on, but fire away, Sean.
You can't put a kid in Toys R Us and tell him not to buy a toy, right? It ain't going to happen, right? Running back, what did we see from the running backs today? Did you see Rashard White start? Did you see Vaughn in there? Did you see Sean Tucker? Did you see Ronnie Brown out of Shepherd?
I know they practiced. I didn't see him do anything. I mean, the Tucker or Ronnie Brown.
Yeah.
Rashard White, I've noticed he's developed a habit. I don't know if this is just underwear football, but he'll run left. If he doesn't see anything, he'll reverse field, or he'll run right, same thing. Nothing's there, he reverses field. I see that a lot. Now, I saw that from Sneak Vaughn today. Again, this is underwear football, so guys can't hit. So when I say there was a massive hole, you got to put the massive hole in quotation marks.
Right.
Sneak Vaughn did the same thing White did. He ran left. There was nobody there. He cut right, and my gosh, you could drive a F-150 through it. So, how'd you like that plug?
That was a good plug.
I have a Sean.
Was it an electric
Sean, F-150? You watch the interviews like we all do, and Bowles said it again today, and I don't think he's lying. I think Bowles has a definite, genuine curiosity about Keyshawn Vaughn. He wants to see more. Keyshawn Vaughn.
It's a five-star recruit running back.
And we didn't see it last year. We didn't see it.
He set many records at Vanderbilt that are still right, that are still standing right now, team records at
Vanderbilt. Are you convinced he's not going to make it, Vaughn?
No, I'm not. I'm not convinced at all. I read an article that was talking about people who have never taken a snap taking his position on the team. So that's why I was asking you about, like, you were talking about undrafted free agents earlier. Tucker had a third-round grade because of the heart condition fell. He's cleared to play. And then Ronnie Brown, who was the all-time leading rusher at Shepherd and has averaged almost 8 yards a carry, is another guy that I think they're very high on who can also receive. But I am interested in, like, the Chase Edmonds is just a guy. I think he's just a training camp guy. I think that if one of the undrafted free agents step up, you might see Edmonds on the block because of the payroll. It would be cheaper to sign an undrafted free agent. What about wide receivers? Did we see Rakeem Jarrett out there, Trey Palmer out there?
I saw Rakeem Jarrett.
I saw Palmer out there, yeah.
What did we see?
Rakeem Jarrett got open, caught a pass, nothing. Geiger, well, like I said earlier, receivers were getting open. In many cases, wide-ass open. I don't know. I didn't really notice if they were going against the first or second team or the third team. I don't know if it's being schemed open.
Right.
But I noticed guys getting way, way open.
Did you see Devin Tompkins? Did you see?
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah, I saw Tompkins.
Tompkins made a nice play for us.
They're out there, but come on. It's not real football yet.
It's flag football.
It's just, you know, it's just not real yet. It'll
You're
be real
a
soon.
Fan if I, I'm asking
it's not
about
real
guys
yet.
That
it's not real.
I think the one thing that Sean Sullivan's going to be most excited about, I do.
When he's out there watching him in pads.
That's very true.
And he's drooling, and he's Sean, like, this is football, and he's pounding.
I want to see somebody getting hit, for sure.
This offense is going to look very different. And I think you're going to like that. The launch
point. I hope it's different.
Sean, the launch point for the quarterbacks, and I don't care whether it's Trask or Mayfield, and I know Trask isn't Lamar Jackson, but he's not going to be sitting just in the pocket like Brady. It's not going to happen. Everything is some movement.
Two, three steps, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Ira, Saturday, Big Storm's 11th anniversary party in Clearwater. Four packs, all four packs of beer to go. Are buy one, get one free. It's a phenomenal deal. And the music, so much fun. Follow them on Facebook, other social media. Get all the details. The bands are rolling here from noon to 8, so it gives you plenty of time. Food specials, raffles. They've got some great things going on for charity there. You talked about Launch Point, Ira. This is our Launch Point on this podcast because we got to be out here in the morning for practice.
Have you finalized a big storm for the season opener? Do you know what's going on?
No.
Can I invite Sean Sullivan out that day to join us?
If he wants to join us, that would be great. But I don't know which location yet. It will be a special buffet, which is going to make things a lot more smooth.
I will pay for Sean.
A little pregame tailgate. But a lot of fun to be had. And, of course, this weekend, the Bucks, the fans aren't really out here too much anyway. But the fans will be coming out on Sunday. Yeah. So that means Saturday's a day off. And that means where else? You come to Bill Curry Ford to shop. That's what you do on a Saturday in
Tampa. And
then go to
Big Storm to drink.
And, yeah, Sean, exactly. You said you're going to be August 6th, which I believe is a Sunday.
Yeah, it's
the day
9th.
After Rondé's induction ceremony.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. So it's going to be Sunday.
All right. Well, Sage, we are out. It's been a fun first day of training camp podcast here. And as we heard earlier, our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Don't hesitate. 24/7, they'll pick up the phone. They'll be out there with their equipment, giving you that free evaluation. Sean Sullivan, thank you for joining us. I know
it's
you
pleasure,
think, it's,
Steve.
I think it's a pleasure.
He's about to show us around on a tour of the capital improvements that are coming very rapidly to this facility.
Sean, can we get a picture of Ira in a hard hat? Is that possible?
You sure can. Absolutely. I have a pink hard hat downstairs.
With a turkey sandwich in my right hand.
Very good.
Come on. Everybody knows the sandwich is gone, Ira.